Okay, here we are back, and it's Monday, and that's amazing already. It's just, I don't know where the weekend went. It was just passed in a sweating furnace of heat. Again, it was 113 today. This is not a joke. And it's, yeah, it's true. Monday means Mitchell Henderson, and Mitch is back tonight, and, it's all artificial, as Mitch knows, and they're doing it. They're trying to shut the water off to more and more California ag units, groups, farms. The industry is being beaten up. They want poor harvest. They want food prices to go through the roof. They're already going through the roof, and or they're diminishing the size of the container of the whatever it is you're buying. No longer will it have 12 of this. It might have 9 of that. So, I mean, it's all orchestrated. It's a plan, and it's being forced on us. Anyhow, welcome back, Mitch. Glad to have you.
Good to be here. Yeah. So you know, when I was early in the military, I did work on weather warfare. The science behind it is pretty simple. What you do is you get airplanes way up high to spray like aluminum oxide particles in the air. What that does is it reflects tau particles. It keeps tau particles from penetrating the atmosphere because they come down and they form. They are what forms clouds and rain forms around them. Okay, so if you can block them with this reflective particles, okay, then you can create droughts. You can create situations where there is no rain. Okay, and this is not complicated science. This is simple science. This is actually old science. Okay, it's not a new thing. They've known how to do this forever. It's just that they weren't heartless enough to do it before.
Heartless? Well, that's assuming they ever had a heart to become heartless about. I'm not sure.
well, that's true. I have to admit that's true. So what I wanted to start out with tonight is about the alien invasion hoax that we discussed it about a month ago. But yeah. I got good information today, and this information is from Russia. Russia just made it, they just printed it in their news with no reservations at all. So let me get into it. So what we talked about is how the U.S. government has decided to release UFO information to the public and how it was preparation for Plan B in case the Great Reset, New World Order, was not accomplished by the COVID hoax. In fact, while most nations created totalitarian states using public health orders to make an end run around their constitutions, it did not create sufficient conditions for a pretext to set up a one-world globalist state. So an alien invasion like the movie Independence Day would create the fear that would lead to the New World Order, just as World War I led to the League of Nations, World War II led to the United Nations. Okay, chaos creates fear. Fear is the currency of control. The COVID pandemic fooled at least half of the people. An alien invasion should bring 100% under control, okay? We later talked about how even I could make the UFO videos that the armed forces have made. Okay, the pictures of
the
UFOs.
The ticky-tack stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, the pictures that UFOs, that the military gives us look bogus. On June 27th, 2021, the Russian news said approximately what we said on this show about a month ago. It is titled, quote, "From the Pandemic to Aliens, the Evolutionary Narrative Towards Global Order." And that's just how it's stated in the Russian news.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So let me quote it at length because the U.S. mainstream media would never allow such an article to be published. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, quote, "The reaction to COVID has shown that the unity through crisis model of the global ruling class has backfired. As talk of UFO intensifies, are they now hoping that mankind can be united in an extraterrestrial threat? And further on, it states, the unity through crisis model of the ruling class is backfiring, and the credibility of their political marionettes is plummeting new depths. The World Economic Forum's prophesized cyber pandemic, if it ever transpires, will only serve to harden growing public skepticism. It is not just our cyber systems that are wobbling on dodgy foundations. Our entire global systems are primed for a mighty fall. Instead of unity, crises are leading to social fissures of an unprecedented proportion. Mankind can no longer be unified through internally generated crises. The Great Reset Project needs to be salvaged by something more exogenous, perhaps something extraterrestrial. Coincidentally, the mainstream media narrative is veering in that direction. This is now mainstream study. While vaccine skeptics are viciously trolled and censored as conspiracy theorists on terra firma, no such constraints are placed on cartoonish claims that a galactic federation of extraterrestrials are working overtime for the ultimate good of mankind. General Chaim Eshed, the former head of Israel's Space Division, even claimed that the U.S. and Israeli governments have signed a contract with us to experiment here. Eshed said that they want to make us sane and understanding first. They waited until today for humanity to evolve and reach a stage where we will understand what space and spaceships are. If there is an iota of truth to Eshed's claims, where aliens made a deal with the USA and Israel, then one must infer that the entities he invoked are not benign. Likewise, any manifestation of aliens down the line may be instinctively viewed as a machination of global elitists and their big tech partners. Alien manifestations could be used to coerce global unity. A chorus of never again may ring out once more, this time without tribal boundaries. Out of this populist cauldron may emerge a great unifier, a world leader who will unite mankind and restore our broken societies under a brand new global order. Let's face it, the desperate generation is a gullible one. Pope Francis has even said that he is willing to baptize aliens when the moment arrives. Pope Francis is toying with the idea of a new universal religion alongside a new universal society.
What a greaseball that guy is. Oh, jeez.
Eyes wide open, folks. The next globalist con game is soon going to be upon us. I wonder what these aliens will look like. A retired Air Force colonel told me that extraterrestrials look like us. Okay, but that's just one source, you know. They have programmed us to think they look like monsters. Well, we'll see what they look like.
Yeah, you know, they let them. Some of them look like us. Some of them look like the little gray guys. And there's some talk that they may be a cloned servant class for them. But there are the tall blondes, and they pass for us just fine. No problem.
Well, we'll see what they tried to fool us with.
Yeah, well, they may pull anything out.
Could they be alien-like things?
Could have three heads. You never know.
So I have no idea what they're going to try to say they look like. You'd think they'd want to make them look kind of scary, though, if they're trying to scare us, you know.
If this is a fiction, you're right. Otherwise, yeah. They're going to say they look just like us and they're walking all over the place around us. That's not going to scare anybody. You're right.
Well, see, this Air Force colonel, he told me that they look just like us because, you know, he had to work in that field and stuff. And that was his experience and stuff. So
I understand.
He's a pretty sober person, you know.
Yeah.
He's not.
There have
one.
Been others that have said similar
yeah.
things. Yes.
Okay. So I'm talking about a totalitarian government here. What is the difference between a dictatorship and totalitarianism? A dictator wants total control of a country. Totalitarianism wants total control over people, including their soul. Mm-hmm. An authoritarian regime demands blind obedience to authority. We know what an authoritarian regime is because we live in one now. We are expected to give blind obedience to the public health officials, unelected officials who have the power to suspend the Bill of Rights when, in fact, nothing in the Constitution gives them any such power. It is illegal power. Okay, well, it just amazes me, Jeff, that you know, the Russian media would print this whole thing up. And there is no way that our media would ever speculate on such things. Okay.
No, you'd never see that. And never. You're right.
Never.
Good catch.
Never. Right. So, anyways, what I wanted to do next is I wanted to go into things leading up to World War III. Okay. Because, you know, any good military strategist doesn't have just one plan in the can. They have multiple plans in the can. Okay.
Right.
That way, if one thing's not going to work out, you still have something else to go to. But they want to hurt us no matter what. Okay. So in the Taiwan Straits, the U.S. continues to show weakness in China. Keep in mind that I'm reporting from the Chinese point of view here. Fact or not fact, it is what Chinese sincerely believe. U.S. Embassy and consulates in China project both weakness and decadence by flying BLM and LGBT flags in China. China lost its place as center of the world historically due to homosexual decadence and sees the LGBT flag at our embassy as a sure sign that we have already achieved open sexual deviancy in our society and especially in our government. This signals to them that the USA is ready to fall from its great power status. The Chinese do not consider black people to be human beings. The BLM flag signals China that we have let non-humans to be elevated in our society and government and gives them confidence about defeating such a weakened world power. Now, once again, I want you to keep in mind, this is the Chinese point of view. This is not my point of view. It's not our government's point of view. It's what the Chinese government thinks and what the Chinese people think. Okay?
Yeah.
So U.S. Air Force jets backed down last week when ordered to leave international airspace that China claims. To them, this means that we have lost face again, and it demonstrates that they have nothing but contempt for us. The Chinese lead pilot ordered our aircraft to disperse, and the U.S. Air Force obeyed. At approximately the same time, 98 People's Liberation Army Air Force aircraft flew directly at Taiwan and entered Taiwanese airspace, including bombers with nuclear gravity bombs. There is some dispute about China's intentions. Technically, Taiwan is part of China, so it does not feel obliged to formally declare war on Taiwan, although the flight was seen by Taiwan as a formal declaration of war. This all happened in the last weeks. Okay, at the moment, China is finally getting a grasp on Hong Kong and getting it under control. So I suspect soon after that happens, Taiwan will be next on the list. Okay. Northeast Asia has lost all confidence in the USA. South Korea sees the United States as a troublemaker and wants us out of their country. Japan would be glad to be rid of us as they can't stand the decadent and immoral troops we station in their nation. Japan is more interested in a reliable alliance with Russia because it is strong and the USA is weak militarily. Taiwan is certain that we will not help against China because our One China policy states that if Taiwan declared its independence, we would not defend them against a Chinese invasion. We gave ourselves a way out of this conflict under Jimmy Carter, who said that we would not defend Taiwan if they declared independence, which they have not done. Okay? Japan can develop nuclear weapons in less than a year. They already have the uranium and plutonium to do it. South Korea would take about 2 years to develop nuclear weapons because it does not have a ready stockpile of fissile materials like Japan does.
Unless somebody were to fly some in from China.
From Fukushima. Okay, so Taiwan had an active nuclear weapons program from 49 to 87. The U.S. supposedly made them shut it down in 1976 under Jimmy Carter, but a Taiwanese officer defected to the U.S. in 1987 with proof that they were still doing it. Taiwan has a small stockpile of nuclear weapons now, some gravity bombs and some that can attach to missiles. A dishonest assessment, this is the United States lying to itself, says it would take Taiwan a year. However, the president of Taiwan would not declare that Taiwan was independent, knowing that China promised to take them by force if they did so, unless they had a few aces up their sleeves already. Uh-huh. So I think that Taiwan has nuclear weapons. China has found massive oil and gas deposits in Xinjiang province, meaning that they can sustain war without much dependence on foreign oil. That's a game changer for them.
And that was the USA, a huge discovery from what I read. Huge.
Go ahead.
Yeah. That was a huge discovery from what I read, and I said that to make a lot of difference strategically for their planning if it's as big as it looked. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have those long supply lines coming from Iran, you know. So that helps them out quite a bit. If the USA intervenes in Taiwan, China has long promised new Honolulu, Anchorage, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego at a minimum, okay? Mm-hmm. Most high-technology weaponry in China is sold to them by Israel. Most of the PLA is financed by BlackRock Investments. BlackRock is the same company that is buying up all the single-family dwellings in the suburbs so they can rent to people and charge different rents according to social justice warrior and Black Lives Matter rules. There is a reason for this, to drive the price of housing up for buyers and by ruining neighborhoods so that the seller cannot fetch a good price for their house when they sell it. BlackRock will be the only buyer. Okay.
BlackRock just bought 65,000 homes a week ago to add to their portfolio. Now, we got a lot of people in this country, so that's not even much on the radar. But the point is, they are investing in residential properties, lots and lots of them. So things are going to change in time. See, those properties could have been bought by you or I, but they're taken. Right. They're all gone. They were sucked up, vacuumed right up by BlackRock.
Right, exactly. And they're the people who finance the development of weapons for the Communist Party of the People's Liberation Army. So they have these multinationals. Well, these elites have no loyalty to anyone, just to themselves and their bottom line. Okay.
Right.
So, in the Middle East, Israel has spent the last few months in an asymmetrical war with Iran. True to the words, Russia and China are not involved. Israel knows at this point that the U.S. is not their ally because Russia and China both say they would declare war on the U.S. if they get involved in Iran. Although Biden has not withdrawn American troops from the Persian Gulf area, he has removed all air defense weapons that protect U.S. troops, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, and Jordan. Iran has a new heartland Islamic Ayatollah, Ibrahim Raisi, as president. Only 48% of the eligible voters voted. Only about 1% of Iranians go to the mosque on Friday, and there are more women than men getting professional education.
That's very interesting, Mitch. Only 48% of the Iranians allegedly voted. That's I would have guessed 65-70%. That's interesting. to me.
Well, it's very liberal. The Iranians don't like the theocracy that they have there. That's why only 1% of the people show up to mosque on Friday. They're not behind
that. They're very Western in many ways. Their consumer ideology and ethos is Western,
Exactly. So the opposition in Iran to the Ayatollah's rule is well organized and entrenched in Iranian society. Most of the Israeli attacks on Iran are carried out by the opposition. After Raisi was sworn in, Israel said that it must go to war with Iran. They have no choice. Raisi said that there will be no talks with Biden or the Americans. He will renegotiate nothing. While Sleepy Joe was talking tough about dealing with corn pop, he let Russia and China make trade deals with Iran to the point where our sanctions just don't matter much anymore to them. The USA has become irrelevant in the Middle East, and everyone there knows it.
Did you see the video of the Russian paratroopers turning the American military convoy around on the highway?
Yes. Yes.
Very, very interesting.
See, the Russians, they'll shoot. They do not fool around.
No. This is they didn't even have their weapons at the ready. They were carrying them. But they knew the Americans weren't going to put up a fight. They just turned and cream puffed their way back down the highway. Anyway, we got to take a break. Hold on.
Biden did this tough thing by bombing these Iranian led places. But, you know, only four people were killed in those bombings.
Well, that's an Obama-like move. Hold on just a second. We'll come right back. Mitchell Henderson will continue with all of us in just a minute. Hold on. Okay, and we're back with Mitchell Henderson. Okay, Mitch, so just to step aside for a moment, we're at the end of June, 1st of July. July and August would be the window months for China to make their move, correct?
Right, any time between now and September. All the way through September. They have all that time.
Okay, so a month. All right, 90 days.
That they can do it. But what I think they're going to do is they've just about got Hong Kong under control, and I think they just have to complete that so that they don't want to fight on two fronts. They're going to have to fight on two fronts because India has just sent 5,000 divisions of troops, 50,000 troops, into the Himalayas to counter China encroachment and stuff. And China doesn't let me just explain some about China's troops in Tibet, okay? All the crappy troops, all the crappy guns, all the crappy equipment, that's what Tibet gets. Those soldiers up there are not the best soldiers that China has, okay? They're saving that for the Taiwan Strait. So, soldiers up along the borders, some of them still just have SKS rifles, which are old, rifles. They don't even have the AK-47, yet. And India's army is well equipped army. They have a well equipped and a professional army. Let me kind of get on with Russia, because they lie to us about Russia so much that we
non-stop.
Don't really get true information about them. Okay?
Right.
So nothing could give Russia more comfort than the tepid, noncommittal NATO summit or the Biden-Putin summit in Geneva. President Macron of France stated clearly that China is not in the Atlantic, so NATO has no business confronting China. Germany said they will not fight Russia, even if NATO nation is attacked. And Biden gave Putin the go-ahead on the Nord Stream 2. He dropped his objections to it. Okay. So who got something out of the Geneva summit was Putin. Biden didn't get anything. Okay.
Well, are we shocked?
NATO has already said they will not defend Ukraine. In other words, while the mainstream media created the false narrative that Biden had reinvigorated NATO, in reality, NATO is weaker and more divided than ever. After the summit, Putin told his people that Crimea and the southern and eastern provinces of Ukraine are Russian and have always been Russian. Our MSM told us that Biden achieved peace and stability between Russia and the USA, sort of like Chamberlain's peace in Munich.
That's so stupid, all of it. Yeah.
So the soil in Ukraine is still wet because they have an abundance of rain. They're having like a late rainy season there, sort of like we're having lots of rain back east. That's happening in Ukraine, too. So that limits Russia's ability for armored vehicles to invade Ukraine. So who knows when it's going to dry up. It's supposed to have been dried up already, but the rains are still going, and
right.
It's still muddy there. So while Biden complained about Navalny being a political prisoner, Putin asked about the 450 peaceful protesters that are sitting in jail without bail on political charges. He asked Biden why the police shot an unarmed woman, Ashley Babbitt, on the day of the protest. Putin mentioned her by name.
Yes, he did.
My Russian contacts told me long ago that Navalny worked for MI6, and it was pretty much an open secret that he did. Russia did not put him in jail for espionage or sedition, but merely jailed him for a violation of probation, sentencing him just to 2 years.
Which they could have done easily.
Yes,
they could have done that. Sure.
Putin said that the 450 peaceful protesters in jail in the USA are facing 25 years in prison. Biden asked Putin if he would give Navalny to the United States. Putin said under Russian law, a prisoner exchange can only happen in cases of espionage. He told Biden that if the CIA gave Russia a sworn affidavit saying that Navalny was an agent of the CIA, then he could release him immediately. Biden complained about the hackers in Russia.
What a chess player that guy is. Jeez.
Yes. Biden complained about the hackers in Russia. Putin said that the USA has requested help from Russia in 10 hacking cases, and Russia granted assistance all 10 times. Russia had made 45 requests for help with hackers in the USA, and no help was granted or offered on any of the cases. Biden said that he got Putin under control. Putin is just a kinder and more polite person than Biden. That's all it is, okay? So the Russians drove a British destroyer out of Crimean waters. At first, the UK said the Russians did not use force. Then Russia released videos of a Coast Guard ship firing at the HMS Defender and of bombs being dropped in the air in the path of the ship. Why the USA thinks it can lie in an age full of camera is beyond me. Okay. It's so easy to prove something now, you know.
Keystone cops.
The U.S. is holding naval exercises in the Black Sea with 32 other nations, including Israel, starting today through July 10th. So, listen, the soil in Ukraine is not going to be drained by July 10th. So this doesn't impede Russia in any way in its plans, okay?
Got it.
From the United States mainstream media, you would think that all is peaceful in the Ukraine now and Biden got Putin to back down. Ukrainian sources say that Russian Federation troops have extended their trenches along the Eastern Front within 150 meters of Ukrainian forces. They have recorded 363 ceasefire violations of the Luhansk front and 1,491 ceasefire violations on the Donetsk front the first week of June, and 2,000 ceasefire violations by the Russians last week, a 295% increase from the week before. This includes heavy weapons, rockets, and rifle fire. Does that sound like peace to you? You know, it's and this is straight from the Ukrainian government. Okay?
War, it's a low, excuse me, Mitch, but then there's a low grade war going on right now there. Obviously, it has been for quite some time. It's not a joke. They snipe all the time. Yeah.
I think the total OSCE ceasefire violations that Russia has made is like almost 40,000 since the ceasefire began. Yeah. Okay, so it's not very much of a ceasefire going on over there. So, anyways, our media has just become a propaganda arm. Propaganda.
Mitch, let me just suggest something. We really shouldn't. You're doing what everyone does. It's not our media. It's our media in the sense that it's over here amongst us, but it doesn't represent us in any way. It doesn't represent reality. It doesn't represent truth. It doesn't represent inquiry, and it certainly doesn't represent journalism. It is a public relations, mind control device owned, operated, and run by the Bolsheviks who are pulling the strings here. And that's it.
I agree. When I scan through the papers looking for stuff, and it's actually kind of stressful for me because just
sure
the blatant
is.
Lying that goes on in there
nonstop,
and how shaded everything is just. Yeah, it is. It's nonstop. It's all about mind control. You know, I mean, look, if you just look now and you look 5 years ago at the words we use in our language, our vocabulary has changed in those 5 years so much. And changing the vocabulary is how you change people's minds. Okay.
It's a semantic war. Of course it is. Yes.
Yes.
They're taking the words away from us. They're diminishing the number of words. They have predictive spelling for your little smartphone messaging sender. You don't have to spell anything right anymore. And there's something called, I hate to give them a pitch, but it's called, I think, Grammarly. And it's for
Grammarly.
Your computer. And it, what it does, you don't, if you're a semi-literate moron, and you put a couple of ideas down, it'll make sentences out of them and spell everything correctly, put in the proper punctuation. In other words, it enables people to operate on the basis of being a consummate fraud. They can't read or write properly. They have Grammarly or whatever. And this predictive spelling, it drives you crazy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Spell check.
Well,
it's
a good example of this is I have a friend named Pat Dollard, okay, and so his name is like Dollar with a D on the end. Well, anytime I try to write his name to somebody, my text messaging changes it to dollars. It puts an S instead of a D. It's like 2001: A Space Odyssey, you know, where they start out where man gains control of the tools, and then at the end, towards the end of the movie, the tool, this computer ship, has gained control of man, and he's going to tell man what to do. Okay. Well, we're there. I mean, our phones try to tell us what to say when it should be just obeying our orders. My car should obey my orders. But my car just, it's got a computer, it's got a brain of its own, and it does things that I don't want it to do, you know?
Yeah.
It tries to second guess me. I mean, the last time I was on the show, my car has a woman's voice. I don't know if you heard the woman's voice, but that was my car just out of the blue talking to me. You know, it was like, We're there. We're at 2001: A Space Odyssey now.
Well, that's,
you know,
that's a good excuse if you're away from your wife for the weekend and somebody opens their mouth and you say, oh, that's just my car. Don't worry about it, honey. It's just my car.
my car. So at least they had the decency to put a decent female voice on my car. You know,
I think
you,
no, it'd be more for, you need a tranny voice. You need some big female.
For inclusion and diversity, right?
That's right. I'm disgusted. If they're only, that's, how sexist can it get? Come on.
Oh, really?
Some gay,
yeah.
You need some gay guy in there. Yeah.
Well,
hi, Mitch.
Yeah,
how are you today?
Inclusion.
Where do you want to go, Mitch? We'll take you there.
Yeah. Well, one thing I don't do is you know, it's like, well, when I was a patrol officer and stuff in Tampa, I kind of figured out the quickest and best way to get anywhere. It's like the architecture of the city. Like a good burglar, a good criminal, robber or whatever, they'll study the architecture of the city, too, so they can figure out how they're going to get away and stuff.
Sure.
They
now they just use their smartphone. They just have
your
a destination.
Can't
tell me how
it.
To get
your
there.
Your car's not going to give you the best way to go. It doesn't know how much traffic is on this road or that road. It doesn't know that stuff. But, you know, if you drive around all the time, you know what roads are better to take than your computer knows. Okay, but I ran into this back when I was trying to copy things on copy machines. It used to be I would just set the page where I wanted to be, and then it would copy it like I wanted to. And then they came up with the new computer-assisted machines, and I would put the page where I wanted it to be so it would come out the way I wanted it to be. But the computer decided to make it all different. Okay, so it's like, who's running who? Are all these things tools of the people, or are we becoming the tools of all the machines?
They're taking over. They're offering more services and more functions so we don't have to think, we don't have to be bothered, and the inexorable takeover of total control is underway. They'll just make it so easy and comfortable, you won't have to do anything. Then you'll get out of the habit of doing anything. They're just inching and encroaching every moment, taking a little bit more here, a little bit more there. Now, I've been in a couple cars where people have, I don't know, what is it, Siri? Whatever, one of these voices.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
say, I want to go here. And it starts talking to you. I mean, a lot of you out there know all this. It's very secondhand to you, but it's not so to me. I've never done it. I've heard it. But it's just part of this revolution of let us do it for you, so you won't have to. And that, there you go.
Oh, but they're making you pay for it. I had to buy a new truck because I live out in the mountains, so I have to do a lot of hauling and work and stuff, construction stuff. So anyways, when I went down to buy the truck, I wanted $62,000. And I said, you know, I remember when I graduated from high school, my parents paid $4,000 for a middle-class home, okay? Now a car costs more than houses than I've purchased myself in the past, okay?
Well, they could have bought... How many? Well, $4,000 a home. They could have bought 10. They could have bought 15 homes for $60,000.
15 homes for one. So when I went in, I talked to him, and I said, you know, I said, you've got me paying for a package of electronics that I absolutely hate. And I do not, I will never use those electronics. I don't like them. They annoy me. I says, can't you make a truck without having all the electronic stuff? And they said, no, those are standard packages now. Well, I complained so much, Jeff, that they to sell me the truck, they brought it down to $42,000. They says, okay, we won't make you pay. They had to talk to some people, but they said, okay, we won't make you pay for the electronics that you're not going to use. So they chopped off $20,000. So So I was
Smart of you to stand your ground. And interesting. That shows a little bit of a markup there, doesn't it? What was in the electronics package?
I don't want all this electronics. It's like you're making people buy it by putting it as a standard package, and you know not everybody wants it.
What did it do? Are we talking about a whole range of things?
Oh yeah, it's got like the
you just want a truck.
It's like a million buttons in here. As a matter of fact, I think you need to go to like Air Force Academy flight school to learn how to use all the electronics on your car now. I used to fly. I went to flight school in the Army, and even back then, this was back in like 1978. A helicopter had less electronics in it than these things have right now. Than my new truck has. It's like,
well,
I don't know. I had to call
running.
One time because they had left the emergency brake on, and I had to call the dealership and ask them, how do you turn the emergency brake off? And it's some complicated thing where you have to press this, hold that, and do that, you know? And it's wow, why would you even turn it on in the first place?
What brand? I know they're all the same, but just
well,
for fun.
Well, I bought it's a Ford F-150.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's loaded with electronics. $60,000 worth.
$62,000.
One EMP, and it's a 3,500 pound.
It's cooked.
Pounds of junk. Yeah. Wow.
Yep, that's right. That's right. So this is our economy. It's anyways. I don't know if I'm going to have to pay for the truck because, their new thing is going to be we're not going to own anything. We're just going to rent stuff. So. So I may be off
yeah,
the
Mitch, you're going to be so much
reset.
Happier. You're going to be way happier.
We'll be happy
don't worry.
Works.
Be happy.
Yep. It's,
no
possessions. Well,
whole you're free. This is a new
single family
divine.
Homes is about. Before I came on, I was even listening to Tucker Carlson, and he was talking about how they're trying to destroy the suburbs. They want to move Section 8 housing into real nice areas where people keep their lawns trimmed and nice and stuff. They want to move a crime neighborhood in right in the middle of that. And I've seen this before. And when I was a policeman in Tampa, there was like a middle class part of the south of the city and stuff. So they decided to build a housing Section 8 housing project down there. And people ask me, they says, "Well, why would they build it here?" And I said, "Well, these are poor people. They don't have cars and stuff. If they build it in another part of town, they have to walk a long ways to steal stuff from people. Whereas if they build it right in your neighborhood, well, they can just walk up the street and steal your stuff."
That's right. And that's not
like,
discriminate.
Every kid that had a bicycle in that neighborhood, their bicycle was gone. And you could always find them down in the projects and stuff. I mean, it's
well,
like,
they got one better in L.A. As I said, they're now going to allow any single family residence on a 50 by 100 foot lot to convert the garage into a second legal residence and to build an 850 foot third separate freestanding legal residence, call it a tiny home and a half, whatever. So there'll be three separate legal residences on one single family lot. 100 by 50 feet, and there'll be six or eight cars there, and there goes the neighborhood. They're forever, it's gone. That's the end. Gone. They're just packing them in.
Well, you know what? This is something that the U.S. media does not report on. I mean, they report on so much stuff that has to do with ethnicity and stuff. People of color. Well, do you know in Los Angeles, they have Latin gangs have neighborhoods, okay? Well, gangs are there to protect the neighborhoods because this is what gang members told me. They said, well, the rich people in L.A. have a gang. It's called the LAPD. And in our neighborhoods, there's no police service, so we have to provide our own protection, and that's what our gang is. We protect our turf, our neighborhood, okay? And,
never mind
so anyways,
paying protection to the gang, right? Never mind that.
What happened, what's been happening for years in L.A. is like, say a black family moves into a Latin neighborhood, Well, the gangs will go kill them. They'll kill the black people. It's ethnic cleansing because they don't want black people in the neighborhood. Does that hit the news? That's ethnic cleansing. That's a crime against humanity. It's happening in our country, and we don't even hear about it because it makes the people who vote for Democrats look bad. Okay?
Well, don't worry about that, because 77% of Democrats have already had the vax. Only 5% are saying that they will not get the shot. So if that holds true, 95% of the liberal, progressive, communist, socialist Democrats will end up being shot up, and they may be out of here. So we'll see. Time will tell.
Well, I know some liberal progressives, and this one guy, he's a biologist, and he said from the beginning, he said, "I'm not going to take that shot." You know, he says what have they told us about it? They've told us basically that the people who are giving us the shot will never be sued for the damage that shot does to us. He says, right. If they don't want to stand behind their product, why should I take their product?
If
they're not liable for the damage it does, why would you take it? You know?
Right. Absolutely. Hey, good job as always. Thanks for the insights and the analysis. Talk to you next week. Only thing we can count on for sure is it's going to be crazier. That's
Oh, I think so. It's just like every time I'm preparing, like gathering information, like just before the show, there's more information. Just before I come on, there's even more information. So it's crazy. These are crazy times.
It is crazy. All right.
Anyway,
Mitch, thanks.
It was good talking to you.
Okay, indeed. You be well. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
Talk
to you next week.
Don't use those electronics.
I won't. Okay. Bye bye.
All right. Good night. All right, Mitchell Henderson, excellent. Very good. Be right back with more after this. Hold on.